Good morning. Today's Bible verse is from 2 Kings, chapter 5, verses 9 to 14. Page 275 in the Brown Bibles. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. From the times of the Old Testament, in Israel's people would be guided by God, and they were with God as a flock and were specially selected. But the Old Testament also tells us that although God loved Israel, the Israelites did not follow him and often fell into idolatry and lack of faith. And no matter how many times Israel turned away, God's passionate love for his nation is written there. The God who created this world was with them and is living. And if we live with him, this is our, in righteous ways, this is our best life. And so we're told that the most precious thing is our relationship to God. Israel experienced the Exodus and went to Sinai, Mount Sinai, with Moses, where he received the 12 commandments. The people of Israel, through the law and through their leader Moses, how far did they manage to get? This is part of the history we told in the Bible. And nevertheless, Israel would fall away and not follow God. Despite the promised land in a place called Kadesh Barnea, there was another incident. The chosen 12 went off to see it. They said, "It's a beautiful land, but the people who are there are so strong, I don't think we can," they said, "we can't overcome them." And so the people of Israel were cast down into fear and doubt and would not go into the land and stayed in the desert. And for 40 more years, the Israelites faced Canaan and finally went forward. And they forgot God and became entirely selfish. But at the time of Solomon's son, Rehoboam, Israel would be separated into two parts. And Rehoboam began a idolatrous practice. If we look at chapter 3, nevertheless, he clung to the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. He did not turn away from them. And in this way, the Israelites continued to sin. And there were still some prophets, especially the prophet Elisha, who continued to say that the true king is God, and if we live with God, there's nothing we can do without God. And so Elisha was not listened to by the king of Israel, let alone the people. Instead, it was the General Naaman, who was a subject of the king of Aram. He was greatly esteemed by the king and the people. He was well known as a man of great ability. He was the great general of that kingdom. His status was high, his power was great. And he was relied on by his people. Surely all who knew him envied his position. But there was one problem. He had one worry, and that was that he had a skin disease, often translated as leprosy. In Hebrew, it was called sarat. But he had a female slave who had been taken from Israel, and she said to him that he should see the prophet of Israel. And she said that in my kingdom of Israel, there was a great prophet Elisha, who could heal sicknesses that no doctor could heal. And we see this in verse 3 of chapter 5. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." And when Naaman heard this, he took a lot of gold and silver and went to visit the king of Israel, because he really wanted to be healed. And he brought many gifts. This would show how important he was. But we can also feel that Naaman was very proud. He thought he could solve anything with enough money. And we might suppose that this was the same way that Israel believed at that time. So he was an example of the problems that Israel was facing. So now let's look at verses 9 to 12 again. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy." Are not Apana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? And so he turned and went off in a rage. And so it didn't go as he had planned, and he became very angry. So he went to Elisha's house with his chariots and his army. But Elisha didn't even come out and said, "Go out." It had his messenger say, "Go to the Jordan and wash." And he got angry being told he had to wash 7 times in the Jordan. He had many thoughts. Here he expresses them in terms of the beauty of his own rivers. What did he have to do such things? Why wouldn't this man, this prophet, show him any respect? And he was going to go home. But he would be schooled in humility and faith. So we look at verses 13 and 14. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, and as the man of God had told him, his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. And so, at the words of his servant, amazingly, his heart changed. His rage went away, and he did as Elisha told him, and he became cleansed. He himself was probably the most surprised. Having said that his own country's rivers were cleaner, why the Jordan? But if he followed simply followed the prophet's words, then he would be healed. It's not that the Jordan itself has such special power. Rather, it is by following the word of God that he had been told that he was healed. No matter how powerful one is, no matter what strength one has, no matter how much people respect you, there are problems that you can't solve yourself. Even Naaman, in the face of this leprosy, this tsarat, was powerless and was unable to even hope for a cure. Yet, through God's word, if he followed God's word, he would be healed. And so we ourselves can learn from this that if we give up our pride, if we don't pretend to be strong, if we admit our weakness, our powerlessness, then this is the most precious thing. I suppose that there may be people here who believe that their skin is like the skin of a young child. And I myself, when I go to work at Kirikira Service and see the older people there, I think when I look at myself in the mirror that my own skin is very young. I suppose that there are some in Kirikira Service who also are proud of their skin. But when I compare myself to my one-year-old daughter, if I happen to look in the mirror, I have a very different impression. I am nothing like the skin of a baby. There's nothing I can do about it, and I'm certainly not as clean as I might think. And it's not just the skin that we can see, but ourselves inside that we realize is old and wrinkled. And so we see in Naman's story how God can perfectly heal us, can bring us back to the pure and smooth condition of a baby's skin. When God heals, we are healed perfectly. God loves us that much. He promised that He would guide us, and it would be a perfect guidance. He says, "I know you," and that means He knows us perfectly. If He says, "I will help you," we know that He will help us certainly, and that is His promise. If we look in the New Testament, we see the same kind of promise. If we look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, 24, 25. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. As Naaman followed God's word when he heard it from Elisha and became like a young child, or his skin did, we too, if we accept the words of the Bible, we will be healed perfectly by Jesus on the cross. We will be perfectly cleansed, and we will become entirely new people and reborn. And so we can live with the shepherd of our spirit, Jesus. As Naaman was troubled by his sickness, we too are troubled by our sinfulness. Naaman was proud and self-centered, and we are no different. But Naaman was shown his own powerlessness and the power of God. And in the same way, we also face sickness and troubles, various pain and difficulty. But through Jesus, we are taught humility, and if we have faith and leave all in Jesus' hands, we may experience the same kind of salvation. And our shepherd Jesus will protect us and guide us, and we will know happiness. From the time of the Old Testament, God is with us and working among us. He took the Israelites out of Egypt. He brought them to Canaan. And although they were faithless, God did not throw them away. He was still the God who guided them. And if we ask of God, there's nothing we have to fear. Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt and into the desert, and through God's grace, he learned to rely on them. And so in Deuteronomy, we see these words. Then I said to you, do not be terrified, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, he will fight for you, as he did in Egypt before your very eyes. And in the desert, there you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. God, who had guided the Israelites and led them, even today, like a shepherd, is guiding us. Jesus offered his own life because he loved us and is going before us to guide us. To us, the future is invisible and we are uncertain, but there is no need to fear. Our Lord Jesus is fighting for us. In the desert, the Lord took Israel like a child. He protected them, and no matter what trouble they faced, what trouble we face, Jesus will gently carry us, and in God's hand, we can go on in peace. There was a text of devotion . There was a young person in the small island in the Aegean who was living there, and he came to a leader, and he said that he felt that he was recently always fighting God, he said. And he said, do you think you can beat God? And his spiritual leader said, no, I am fighting to be defeated by God. So we don't try to fight God to win, but rather to be defeated by him, so that we can put all our burdens on him. If we are defeated by God, if we give up our own plans, if we give up our own thoughts and simply ask God to do for us what he will, if we follow what he tells us, that's all we need. God will give us many blessings and hope that he has prepared for us. The people of Israel experienced this. Naaman experienced this. And we too, when we face troubles that we can't overcome, if we are, if we look to God, if we ask him for help, then we can get through our troubles and be led through God as long as we trust in him and ask for his help. Let us look again at what Naaman saw in the end. Verse 19, "Go in peace," Elisha said. Naaman then traveled some distance. Go in peace. No matter what happens from now, you will be okay, because you have trusted in God. And so, trusting in God, you may go in peace. In the paper, in a column yesterday, there was some talk of Linus's blanket. Now, Snoopy often, in that comic strip, would steal Linus's blanket. And when he had his blanket, his security blanket, he was able to rely on his blanket and act by himself. It was as if he was with his parents. He felt secure with his blanket. It's not just babies who become so attached to their security blankets. In this time of the novel coronavirus, we are in fear, and we grasp for those things and foods that we think can help us. And that is very much like the psychology of the security blanket. And so, let us think about our security blankets. And instead, we will get through our troubles, our accidents, our sicknesses, if we, at times when we are tested, if we learn from those times what true security is. If we give up our pride, if we give up our plans and simply rely on God, there is one who will help us. There is the shepherd, the Lord, who is with us. And that is our greatest security blanket. That's something we will notice in those times. Through our fellowship with the Lord, we can be healed, cleansed, and we will be told by God, "Go in peace," as he strengthens us. And so I hope we will all wish to be guided by God and walk in peace. So now let us pray. At the beginning, God, you created heaven and earth, and now you are alive among us, and you bless each and every one of us. O God, God, you're always trying to guide us. You are fighting for us. And we have our own thoughts, our plans. We try to rely on our own strength. We become lost. And at such times, we experience difficulties and painful times. And at that time, God, through your word, you speak to us. And you say, come back to me. Today, there were two baptisms. God, you offered your life in love for us. And we give thanks. We hope that many will hear your voice, face you, and ask, what are you trying to do? What do you want to do for us? And in the Lord's path, we can have our security, our peace, and we ask that we be given guidance to follow you. And God, at all times, we know the Lord is guiding us and helping us to do our best. Please guide us again. You have encouraged us, go in peace. We ask that we walk in that spirit. We have faith that you have blessings in store for us as you guide us. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, Amen.